Coming on the podcast today, it's Pat and Stu
in for Glenn. We talk about the Supreme Court, a couple of big decisions that came down and actually looked pretty good, which is a nice change, a nice part of Donald Trump's legacy as president. 6-3 decisions that go the right way for once. We go through some of the songs you might remember that, viewed with today's eyes, do not look so good. There's a lot, apparently a lot of rock stars used to sing about hooking up with 16-year-olds, and it was not something that they should have been doing. We kind of revisit some of those songs that you're not going to want to miss. That was a fun, disturbing look back into our past. We have some new stuff, some new COVID restrictions that we talk about. And some more general craziness. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast if you can. Rate and review. 5 stars is the appropriate number of stars. Do the same for Pat Gray Unleashed and Stu Does America, both available in this podcast app. And make sure to head over to, I'm wearing today, if you're watching the, if you get over to the video feed at all of the program, I'm wearing my Notorious ACB t-shirt to honor the decisions of Amy Coney Barrett over the past few days. You can get that at stewdoesmerch.com. Check it out. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Happy Independence Day weekend. Pat and Stu for Glenn today. Sad news, though, as we start the weekend, we didn't hit the numbers that our president required of us to go ahead and have barbecues in our backyards with a couple of people that we care about, or at least like, and wanted to have over for a burger. We didn't hit those numbers, so you can't do it.
Pat, I happen to be of the idea that it's way too many people in a backyard if you have multiple people in a
backyard.
Well,
he set up to 6. That's too many. We would have hit our numbers, but that was too many.
Too many, Pat.
Okay.
Too many
people. Yeah,
you're talking about 6 people in one backyard. I mean, maybe if you had 10 acres, you know, something like that situation. If you had 10 acres.
I personally don't.
You don't?
I don't. I do not have 10 acres.
Do you
land.
Have a mountain range that cuts through and gives multiple sections of backyard?
Do you think my name is Glenn Beck? No. No, I
do. Oh, this is the Glenn Beck program. I thought
Glenn
maybe
does have a mountain range that cuts through his backyard.
Well, but it's not appropriate. What I would say is, if you have a mountain range that cuts it like a pizza into 6 different slots.
Oh.
Like, so you'd need a mountain range that kind of, or like maybe even a forest would work, but it has to cut it into multiple different regions of the backyard.
I don't have that.
And then one person in each region. If you picture like a small pizza cut into 6 slices, one person in each area of that backyard, if it's divided by some natural barrier.
For instance, if your backyard includes Colorado, Utah.
Okay. Yeah, right. Like if you're the
Arizona,
federal government.
Yeah.
If you're federal government and you own, let's say, 60% of the western half of the country,
yeah, then you could have
you could
a barbecue.
Do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because we're all coming together. This is our Independence Day, Pat.
Otherwise, like, how many do you think are two appropriate? Can 2 people who live in the same household go into the backyard and have a barbecue? Or is that too many? Is that too much to ask?
Let me just be, because you know we're conservatives. We maybe are a little too lackadaisical with our COVID restrictions. What I would say is, let's say you live on a street and everyone's got a decent sized backyard. If you were to have a backyard barbecue with one person per backyard, I think that would be okay. But
separated by a fence?
First of all, yes, definitely separated by a fence. But it'd be better if maybe you add some plexiglass to the top of that fence as well.
Okay.
And then in addition to that, you need to stand in the middle of the yard.
Either today or tomorrow, you need to install plexiglass at the top of your fence.
Yeah. I mean, it should be there already. The fact that it's not already shows that you don't care and you want to kill grandmothers. But I'm saying you stand in the middle of the yard, though. Not like the Tim the Tool Man Taylor thing.
Where the neighbor came up and he poked his nose over the fence.
Yeah, you only saw his eyes for the entire series kind of peeking over the fence. Way too close.
Way
too close. Now, sure, if you want to look back and look at some of the scientific data, you might note that there has not been a single case of COVID spread outdoors other than very close conversation in the entire history of the pandemic. But I think six people outside is radical. And we didn't hit the number, Pat.
We didn't hit the number.
We didn't hit the number.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to have a barbecue in the backyard with friends.
Thank you.
I don't deserve it.
I'm glad you finally said that, Pat.
Yeah, because it had to be said. It really did. I feel better now having gotten it off my chest.
And here's the thing. The fact that we missed this completely arbitrary number by, what, 3%? So instead of 60, instead of 70% of people, adults over 18 vaccinated, it's 67%. This is a massive difference, and it's really going to make the difference between a pandemic, a raging pandemic, and herd immunity, Pat.
That's a dang good number. In the United States of America, yes. That's an incredible number. 67% of adults have gotten a vaccine.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I totally agree with this. I do at times hesitate because you think like, well, you know, like herd immunity is factors in an entire population. We're not going to get to herd immunity soon. Probably never. But,
although, the point is, I will say, what's his face? Fauci said 70% at the beginning. If you get to 70% of adults, that's pretty dang good.
I think it is pretty dang good, especially when you consider that, you know, for most of this time, no one under 17 years old was eligible to even take the vaccine.
Yeah.
So you can't even look at anyone there. And you're at 67% of adults, but more importantly, Pat, this is something conservatives argued from the very beginning. Look, we have a country here. We have people who are going to be able to make their own risks, right? They're going to be able to assess their own risks. You know, what we really need to do to get this country going again is look at the people who are really vulnerable here. And the people who are really vulnerable are largely people over 65 years old. Right now, currently, at this moment, we have vaccinated 88.2% of people over 65. That is an insanely good performance. I mean, what did you expect in a country where people are allowed to make their own decisions? You expect it to be 100? I mean, there are going to be some people who don't agree with you. 88.2% of the most vulnerable people?
It's incredible.
Incredible. That's amazing. And of course, we've seen the results. I mean, we're down 90% in cases and deaths. Some of them over 90%, some of these margins. Hospitalizations as well. So
They're trying to scare us, though, back into submission because the people are getting too free again. And we're not completely under their thumb right now. So they're doing the whole Delta variant scare. Mm-hmm. The fear-mongering on the Delta variant. You hear it every stinking day. The Delta variant! The Delta variant! It's coming! The Delta variant! Just stop with the Delta variant. But they're not going to stop because they want control. In Los Angeles, they've already re-mandated masks if you're going indoors anywhere.
I just don't think any of this stuff is going to work. I don't feel like they're going to be able to reinstitute these.
The
Delta variant's up to what, 25% now of cases. It's going to rise. It's happening. Mm-hmm. It's happening in Great Britain right now. And now they have what I would consider a worse vaccine than the ones that we have.
AstraZeneca.
Yeah. I mean, it's had its problems.
Obviously.
I don't think it's terrible, but their situation right now, they are having an influx of cases due to the Delta variant. And what hasn't moved at all, and we are now a couple weeks past where it should have moved, are deaths and hospitalizations. I mean, it's ticked up a little bit, but really it hasn't nudged up at all. So we've seen cases go up, but this is really like the old, you know, when some of these outbreaks would happen last year, people would say like, is this just cases? You know, it's younger people. Is it just cases? And then the deaths eventually would rise every single time. This time they're not in Great Britain. Now, who knows? Will it hold? I don't know. Here, we seem to be performing even better because I think our vaccines are better performing vaccines through Operation Warp Speed and all the work that the president did. I heard him on Clay and Buck, the new show in Rush Limbaugh's time slot, talking earlier this week, and he was talking about how the media all said this was not possible. They all said a vaccine in that timeline could not be done under any circumstances.
They laughed at him.
They said Donald Trump was trying to manipulate the science to win an election. They accused him of all sorts of things. Yet here we are disappointed that only 67% of adults are vaccinated by July.
Yeah.
They had no timeline. Their initial timelines for all of this was supposed to be a release maybe by the end of 2021. Maybe if we're really lucky, they'll release all of this for people.
Yeah, they kept telling us. Yeah. Oh, please, the fastest ever vaccine was developed in 4 years.
Yeah.
You can't get it done by the end of the year.
And
he did.
Think about this, Pat. I found this to be fascinating. The early 80s went on, and we just exited Pride Month. And if you know anything about...
I miss it already.
I do, too. Don't you? Yeah. I mean, we're 363 days away from Pride Month.
I'm
going
to keep it in my heart all the year, though.
You will?
I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
One of the things that always comes up in Pride Month is the evils of Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan didn't even mention AIDS until
1998, after he died.
After he died.
After he died, AIDS. He finally mentioned it. Once. And that was only one time.
And there's all these things that go around the... Maybe we should get into this later, but there's all these things that go around the internet that Ronald Reagan didn't care about AIDS, and he didn't mention it for all this time. It's not true.
He, doubled the investment in fighting AIDS, more than doubled. Every
year.
Yeah,
I mean...
Every single year, he doubled it again.
Yep. And the first year it was called a pandemic and an epidemic, excuse me. He was already investing in it. I mean, he didn't wait until it was too late. He was not asked, interesting, by any journalist throughout the entire 1984 reelection campaign one question about it in any of the debates. Mm-hmm. So like, it was not a focus of the country in large part. But
we barely heard about it.
Yeah, we didn't know
in
what
84.
It
was. We didn't know anything about it.
We didn't know what it was at the time.
I think the first time we ever heard of it was 1982.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it wasn't, they didn't know that much about it.
They didn't know much about it. They didn't really know how it spread. And here's the thing that I thought was fascinating, thinking about how far we've come. In the early 80s, AIDS was a thing. Mm-hmm. And they started trying to figure out what caused it. It took them 4 years to identify the virus.
I mean, and
4 years.
Fauci was saying things like, we think it might have come from a toilet seat. I mean, it wasn't exactly that, but it was stuff like that.
Yeah, and we didn't know. I mean, think about, we have, in this situation, Operation Warp Speed produces multiple effective vaccines in less than a year. And back then, it took 4 years to even figure out what the virus was, let alone come up with a vaccine for it, which they still don't have.
Yeah.
They do have pretty effective treatments now that have been developed over time. But
people live a long time.
Yeah, very, very long time. It's no longer the death sentence. I remember watching Magic Johnson.
And thinking, oh my God,
he's going to be dead in 6 months.
Now you can't even detect the disease in him.
Yeah. And we've come a long, long, long way. By the way, I think it's Moderna that is about to enter trials on an mRNA AIDS vaccine, HIV vaccine, a flu vaccine. And there was one other one.
Oh, wow.
Melanoma is another one. They're in the middle of developing.
Really?
Yeah. I understand that there's
a cancer vaccine.
I mean,
that's amazing.
There's a lot of disagreement, I understand, at times in the audience with vaccinations. And again, I maintain...
I'd take a cancer vaccine. I'd take it.
And I maintain it's 100% your choice to do all of these things or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really important in a country like the United States with foundational liberties like we have. Yep. On the other hand, I also am really excited about this technology, because if it works, there's hope to wipe out all sorts of diseases that have been around for a really long time. And of course, we should, make sure that all of it's safe and everything else. I mean, I think that's very important. I'm very encouraged by, what the Trump administration was able to do. One of the things I love about this whole story is that it's the most hated people in the world coming together to do it. I mean, people hate pharmaceutical companies. They hate capitalism. They hate the Trump administration. And it's impossible to tell this story without them. But that being said, it's up to you, especially now when these things are available. If you don't want to take them, you shouldn't have to take them. And then you assume the risk associated with that. If you want to take them, you should have the ability to take them. And you assume the risks associated with that. That is that seems like a country that's free.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of does.
the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, so there have been 45. We got the 45th president in office right now. So the top 44 presidents listed by presidential historians. This is a survey I usually see around President's Day.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing it this year. Maybe they just waited until now to come out here. In the, yeah, COVID,
it was COVID,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
COVID-19. All about COVID.
Yeah. So, let's start with the worst president of all time. This is perennially the worst president of all time. You know who they usually pick as the worst? Number 44. Then after
Hoover?
Nope. But
they don't like Hoover.
Guess.
He's usually
like
towards
Hoover.
The bottom.
Hoover is 36th, so he is near the bottom. James Buchanan,
yeah,
our first gay president. I don't know if they're homophobic or what, but they always list James Buchanan dead last among American presidents.
Yes, they do. Sad for James.
We also have. Let's see. To start at the at number 10. So the top 10.
Oh, wait, you're not going to do more of the crappy ones?
Well, yeah,
I want to know
more
of the crappy ones.
Okay.
Give me some crappy presidents, according to historians.
Now, number 43. So 44 is James Buchanan. Mm-hmm. Number 43, Andrew Johnson. At number 42, Franklin Pierce. Presidents people don't know much about, right?
No, yeah.
Franklin Pierce. Name three things Franklin Pierce accomplished in office.
I can actually remember the day that I realized John Tyler was president of the United States. I went through my entire life not knowing
about John Tyler.
And I remember, John Tyler? Who the hell is John Tyler?
Well, he's the 39th best president in the history of the country.
Okay, these guys at the end,
yeah,
you really realize are not there. They're just not. A lot of them are just not known.
No, they're not. This next one at number 41 is definitely known. Donald J. Trump. They list at 41.
I will say, jeez, I am stunned he is not 44.
According to presidential historians, a good point.
Again, like these guys always put progressive presidents up at the top and conservative presidents at near the bottom. The fact that they didn't put Trump at 44 out of 44 is stunning to me. They must hate gay people like President Buchanan.
Yes. Yes. William Henry Harrison, 40th.
How? What was he president for, like 9 days? How long was Harrison president?
Yeah. Is he the one that died really quickly?
Wasn't he the one? I'm getting these guys confused now.
Me too. It might have been McKinley. McKinley wasn't president very long either.
Maybe that's the one.
A month. Okay, so then John Tyler, as we mentioned, at 39. Millard Fillmore, 38. Harding, 37. Herbert Hoover at 36, as we mentioned. Zachary Taylor, 35th. Martin Van Buren. Rutherford B. Hayes, 33. Benjamin Harrison. Richard Nixon. Yeah. Okay, so.
Wait, hold on. So William Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
His presidency lasted from March 4th, 1841 to April 4th, 1841.
Wow.
That's not
March to April.
Yeah.
Like a month.
Not a good run. I mean, it's unfair. Why? He should be like number one. He couldn't have screwed up that bad.
Is he the one that caught pneumonia?
Yeah.
When he was out doing the speech. Chester A. Arthur, too. Very obscure president. He at number 30. George Bush at 29.
George W. Bush. Now it's 29th. Interesting. George W. Bush is now moving up on these lists. You're noticing
he went from 33 to 29 this time.
And this is why you can't look at these recent presidents with any level of honesty. These guys cannot do it because Bush was the worst guy in the world in 2009 and 10. And now that Trump has come in and now he's the worst guy in the world, you can move Bush up and say, Bush was good. Look at the comparison. And by the way, I know it seems impossible, but the same thing will happen with whoever runs next. If Ron DeSantis is the candidate, they will say, geez, we thought Trump was bad, but Ron DeSantis is worse. Mm-hmm. They did it with Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. Remember that? They're like, look, we thought George Bush was bad, but Mitt Romney, he's worse. They do it every single time.
Right. And Bush is gone in the surveys. They do this 2009 survey, 2017, 2021. So Bush in that time has gone 36 to 33 to 29.
See?
Yeah.
He's moving up the charts.
Another four places, George W. Bush.
Like, has he accomplished something new? What has happened to make him go from 36 to 29?
It's the perception.
Yeah.
You know, you're right.
History tells the story, I guess.
Gerald Ford, who was not a great president, was number 28. Garfield and Carter next.
Carter should be way lower than 26. That's ridiculous.
Sure. He's one of the worst of all time.
He should probably be in the 40s. Late 30s to the early 40s.
Grover Cleveland, they list at 25. One of our greatest... this is one of our greatest presidents of all time. This guy, to me, is top three.
Yep.
He's definitely top three. Calvin Coolidge. And they have him 24.
Calvin Coolidge at 24. That is a disgrace.
It really is.
24?
It really is.
I mean, I agree with you. I think he's probably my favorite president. Maybe my second or third favorite, but he's right up there. He should be up there at the top. That's a terrible miscarriage of justice.
For me, he's up there with George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. He's right up there with those guys. He was a great president. Let's see. Clinton is down at number 19 now. Clinton has kind of gone the other way. He's gone 14, 15, 19.
Mm.
So
same with George H.W. Bush, 18, 20, then 21.
Yeah.
It's interesting that those guys are going backwards for some reason.
James K. Polk is a guy you don't hear about much since we dropped James K. Polk Tuesdays doing Pat and Stu years ago. We finally got tired of doing it. But he's listed at number 18. That's not bad. That's not bad. All right, the top 10. Barack Obama at number 10. Just above him at number 9. And this is way too low, I think. Ronald Reagan, 9th. Where would you put Reagan?
I'm surprised he's 9th, actually, on a list like this. If I was going to put him, I'd have him higher.
Mm-hmm. But 9th isn't bad for presidential historians.
I'm shocked that they put him 9th. That's stunning for historians.
JFK, who always is overrated, number 8.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
He didn't
even complete a term. Again, not his fault.
Right.
But still, you have to take that into account.
Did some good things, though. He stared down the Soviets. He had the vision of the moonshot. And he lowered taxes.
Yep, in a big way. I would not put him at the bottom. But
I mean,
he's not a top 10 president. He didn't even serve enough time, I think, to be a top 10 president.
Right. Let's see. Thomas Jefferson, number 7. Way too low for Thomas Jefferson. Harry Truman is above Thomas Jefferson at number 6. No. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 5th best president of all time. Kind of ambivalent on that one. Then you get to Theodore Roosevelt.
I'm not ambivalent on that. That's terrible at number 4.
Terrible ranking, and even worse is
even
number
worse.
3, FDR.
Yeah, those
at
are terrible.
Number 3, no. FDR is definitely near the bottom of this list. Definitely one of the worst presidents of all time. In fact, we skipped over Lyndon Baines Johnson, who's listed at number 11. He might be the all-time worst president.
Seriously, I think he is underrated in that discussion as one of the worst presidents
Absolutely.
Of all time. He is almost single-handedly responsible for all of our problems with debt.
Trillions and trillions of dollars can be attributed to him and the war on poverty.
And he was an out-of-control racist.
Yeah,
the fact that they and again not racist. I mean, look, Woodrow Wilson, who we didn't mention somehow on this program, which is terrible. He's at number 13, which actually is probably
way too high.
He should be obviously in the 40s. But like Wilson was a racist in a lot earlier than Johnson. Johnson was still doing the racist thing, you know, a half century later.
And here's the thing: the weird thing about Lyndon B. Johnson, he's credited for the Civil Rights Bill, signing it.
Incredible.
Well, yeah, after he was forced into it, essentially.
And he fought it his entire life.
He fought it right up till the time he signed it, really. He signed it out of political necessity. He had to sign it, and he finally did. But he fought it the rest of his career. It's despicable that he's listed at number 11. Okay, going back to the number 2, George Washington. And which I don't have a problem with, since you've got Abraham Lincoln at number 1. I mean, that's hard to argue with. Although Southerners would always argue with Abraham Lincoln being number one, the best president of all time.
Yeah, I might put. Look, Lincoln is a top five president in my view, but I probably put Washington ahead of him.
I definitely would.
It's hard to put Washington behind anyone. I think, in a list like this, I'd have Coolidge in the top five. I think I'd have Reagan in the top five. Mm-hmm. Jefferson, I could put in the top five as well,
for sure.
You know, Monroe,
James Monroe,
not a top five guy.
No,
for me,
Madison.
I would consider putting him in
top ten.
I don't know why he's so. I mean, like his.
He's never listed high though.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a separation. It's hard. It's hard for, I think, most people to separate his presidency versus his legacy.
Writing the Constitution.
Yeah, like you know, he's one of the most important people in our country's history.
Yeah.
Some people rate his presidency a little bit lower.
Yeah.
But his contributions to this country, you'd put him in the top five for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I put Reagan up there. I would put Coolidge up there for sure. And I would my bottom five has got Woodrow Wilson in it. It's probably got Jimmy Carter in it. It definitely has LBJ in it.
Yes.
I mean, those names, you can't look past them. And I think maybe the best president of all time was William Henry Harrison, because he was only in there for a month and he couldn't screw things up. He's the only one.
Right.
What if we did monthly presidents? I mean, maybe we should think about this as a real long-term trend.
Who had the best month as a president?
Yeah. I think, though, that's the term limit we go with. 4 weeks. You could be president for 4 weeks, and then you get a second four-week term, and then your term limited out.
I like it.
We'd have a lot of elections, I don't think I could take the election ads in this format. This is like what they do in Israel right now. They just, hey, wait, what if we just throw another election next week? Let's just plan having a weekly election for the president. You know,
and let's see if that guy can put together a government. And then the next guy in another month will elect him, see if he can put one together.
Maybe we shouldn't. This is a crazy idea for a lot of these parliamentary democracies, but maybe you don't have the president putting together a government. Maybe that's not the way the system should work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe let the people elect representatives into a government.
Mm.
And then you go with what the people elect.
Huh. This is one of the most fascinating things about how the world has developed, I think, which is the United States comes out of nowhere. This is July 4th, right? We come out of nowhere. We're the upstart kids in town. Mm-hmm. We take over the league, right? Mm-hmm. MVP every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And so few countries have decided to just emulate what
we've
done.
Follow the plan.
Like, they all try these little mixes on it. They all have a little different way of going about it. I mean, they've all moved from monarchies toward democracy. I mean, the world as a whole has gotten a lot better since the U.S. came through, and we've had a lot of that influence. But a lot of them just stick around with this like parliamentary democracy system. All these things, like, look, you know what you should do? Look at our Constitution. Put it when it says United States, change it to your name of your country. That's what you should do. Go in there, take the document, control H, I think it is, which is find and replace.
Okay.
Find United States, replace with Uganda or whatever country you are, and then go with it.
Yeah.
That's easy. Now, you want to tweak a thing here or there, I can understand it. Maybe your culture's a little bit different, but we've set this up pretty well. You've seen this works, right? We've basically been the global superpower forever. And people are just like, what if we try something totally different? What if we
do a constitution on Twitter?
Yeah.
What if we did that?
Let's have a panel of kings. We'll have nine kings and they can all... It's like, why just do what we've done? We've told you how to do it. It works.
Right.
He's like, well, we're going to have totally different laws. But at the same time, I want to mention... All of our people should be able to illegally cross the border to go into that place all the time. And it's hateful if you don't allow them to do it. Wait, you could just have this where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the land that has made this place great. It's not the location. It's not the climate. It's the Constitution and the founding documents that have made this place great, among other things.
Yep.
Just try to emulate that as close as you can.
It's not rocket science.
It's not.
We've already shown you how to
do it. Or we could go to Twitter.
Hey, send us some amendments. A tweet at Iceland's got a new constitution on Twitter, and we'll put them in there.
No more than 244 characters, though. 888-727-BECK.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat Gray and Stubergear for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program today. You know, you might think the lyrics today are a little bit iffy, and some maybe aren't appropriate to be hearing on the radio. You had a list of some songs that Spin Diddy went through that when you look at the lyrics, and these are all songs that you probably knew as a kid or growing up, and they probably didn't hit you that they were anything special or anything outrageous. But when you look at them today with today's eyes, they're pretty outrageous.
Yeah, this all started from a thing that happened in the news recently about Indiana Jones. They're doing a new Indiana Jones movie right now, which thankfully, because the Crystal Skull was one of the worst movies ever made. So I kind of want them to at least attempt to try to salvage the series after what they just did to it. But they're going through this and they talk to Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. You know, she was obviously his love interest in this movie. And listen to this scene and see, just listen, do some math in your brain as you listen to this scene.
Hello, Marion.
Indiana Jones. Always knew someday you'd come walking back through my door. I never doubted that. Something made it inevitable. So what are you doing here in Nepal?
I need one of the pieces your father collected.
I learned to hate you in the last 10 years.
10 years.
I never meant to hurt you.
I was a child. I was in love.
Wait.
It was wrong and you knew it.
You knew what you were doing.
Now I do. This is my place. Get out. Mohan, Temigru, Bulianu.
I did what I did. You don't have to be happy about it, but maybe we can help each other out now.
So,
okay, all right. She did what I did. You knew what you were doing. She just said she was a child.
Wait a minute.
Now she's maybe 28 now. 30.
She is saying. They're doing interviews. But so what prompted this is like the dumb ending to the Me Too saga, where now they're criticizing Indiana Jones, who is a fictional character,
right,
for his apparent sexual assault of Marion when she was too young. So they've now asked Marion, the actor who portrayed her, was there statutory rape going on? What happened? And she says she was 16. So she was 26 in the actual movie. 16. 10 years ago was 16.
Wow.
Now, Glenn somehow dug out some of the conversations about this scene from like the planning of the movie. And apparently George Lucas was like pushing for her to be like 11.
What?
Like she's like 21 in the movie and it was 10 years ago and she was 11. And all the other writers are like, I don't know if 11's the right number, guy. I think that might be a little.
That's
and then
just creepy.
Lucas is like, how about 12?
No.
No. So they eventually 12? Got him to like 15 or 16. For what? And it doesn't mean anything in the plot, right? It's like it's totally. He was just apparently wanted to write a lot about something very weird. So this got us thinking about how these things have changed. Because remember, Indiana Jones came out in the 80s, but it took place in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So in the 30s, standards were quite different. But even since the 80s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, standards have changed quite a bit. Some of the songs that were released back then could not come out today. It would not happen. Should we go through some of these? Because some of them are kind of amazing. Okay, Under My Thumb, The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, from 1966. It's about a power struggle between this couple. And at the time of its release, it was criticized by feminists even back then for subjugating the woman to being like a quote squirming dog.
Probably wouldn't do that
so
today.
You couldn't do that today, and apparently they didn't even like it back in 1966.
It's not all sexual stuff though, like for like In the Summertime.
No, there's fine.
So if you sung, you sang along to that song before, you probably said, have a drink,
have a drive.
Which is, again, like, you're not in that order, so not really supposed to do that. No. Go out and see what you can find. If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Not appropriate.
No, no.
Now, from the Beatles, the song Run for Your Life, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. Kind of not cool.
Yeah, seems like a little over the line.
Yeah.
Getting Better with the Beatles has, I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved. Okay. You psychopath. That had to be Ringo.
Not good.
Ringo, I think, came up with that lyric because he's in here again later on. And of course, Your Squaw is on the Warpath by Loretta Lynn.
I think Getting Better was McCartney's song.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I just feel like Ringo had a. He's got.
Seems super appropriate, though. Even in 1967, you could say that.
That doesn't seem right.
Not at all.
Your Squaw is on the Warpath by Loretta Lynn has. Well, you leave me at home to keep the teepee clean. Then you've got. I mean, some of these are Ahab the Arab, which was by Ray Stevens, a comedy song.
Yeah.
That he kind of changed the pronunciation of Arab because. Ahab doesn't rhyme with Arab, Pat. So you had to say Ahab the Arab.
And of course, that's not how you pronounce it, and they take offense to that. Now, Short People by Randy Newman.
Jokey and silly.
Yeah, jokey and silly. And it was an ironic song. He was being ironic throughout it. Mm-hmm.
Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones. Now, this one has made news before. I've
thought about this one many times.
The song features so many taboo subjects, including forced sex with an underage slave girl.
Oof.
Probably not the topic you want to lead a very well-known song with.
Yes.
Some of these, though, are like not as well-known. One in a Million by Guns N' Roses. I don't remember it.
I don't either.
1988 rock song describes Axl Rose's experience getting hustled at a Greyhound bus station when he first came to Los Angeles. In the lyrics, the following groups are denigrated. The Police. Well, that one you can totally still do.
Mm-hmm.
Totally okay to do that one. Black people. And he uses the N-word. Okay, that's not okay. Immigrants. And gays, calling them the F word for gays in the song.
Not good.
Would not be done today, in my opinion.
Not acceptable. China Girl by David Bowie.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. these days, China girls are Asian women, of course. You can't say China girl anymore. But he sang. Now, he says that this was about... ridiculing stereotypes of Asian women.
In the almost in the Short People sort of genre.
Yes, but it's really strange because in the video for the song, he does something with his eyes that you really couldn't get away with today. I mean, you would be canceled.
Yeah, not
your songs would not be purchased any longer.
Stop AAPI hate David Bowie.
Yes,
that's
please.
That's what I say.
Please.
How about Island Girl by Elton John? It's about a Jamaican woman who is, quote, black as coal, who works as a prostitute in Manhattan. A black boy is trying to take her, again, quoting, black boy is trying to take her back to the island and asks, what are you wanting with a white man's world? Probably not going to work today. Dire Straits' Money for Nothing is well known. You may remember this.
Yeah.
They use the F word for gays multiple times.
Multiple times. Now, that was taken out even back then on some radio stations. Others just let it play, which you couldn't possibly do today.
I think, and if I understand right, I think they're still playing the song the way it is, which is somewhat surprising if they are.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. With the F word in it, not bleeped at all.
Because, I mean, it's one thing to play a song the way it was. It's another thing to perform it live today.
Yeah. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
It's changing these things. What does it do? Does it actually help society? Probably not.
No.
But usually, you know, just these artists don't want to be on video doing it.
Right.
Ringo Starr.
You're 16. There was a lot of these back in the 70s.
Yes.
About 16-year-olds. I don't know why.
Why, Pat?
I don't know. In fact, the song My Sharona by The Knack in 1979 kind of got that band shut down even back then because they were singing about young girls all the time.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going
and
on.
And they're like, okay, that's creepy. That's weird.
That was your 16, You're Beautiful in Your Mind.
Yes. Okay. For Ringo Starr.
Fat Bottom Girls by Queen. Now, you'd think that one would be banned because or questionable because you're fat shaming. Like,
yes.
That's what I would think when I would hear that. However, no, this is the lyrics of the song, "But I knew love before I left my nursery."
Wow.
Okay. "Left alone with big fat Fanny. She was such a naughty nanny. Heap big woman. You made a bad boy out of me." So this young man seems to have been raped. That's what I would say occurred. You wouldn't think that they'd sing a fun rock song about it later on.
No, you
sometimes
wouldn't.
These things occur.
I mean, "Don't Stand So Close to Me" by the Police. It's a great song, but the subject matter is not great.
Yeah. "A schoolgirl twice and a teacher twice her age cross a dangerous line by having an illegal and appropriate affair." Inappropriate affair. Not appropriate.
And I don't think he ever does in the song. Does he?
He's trying to resist her, basically.
Yeah,
he's trying to talk himself out of it,
yes.
Basically, is what I would say.
Yes.
How about "Father Figure" from George Michael, 1987? I don't remember this line in the song. "That's all I wanted, but sometimes love can be mistaken for a crime." So he's basically saying, this is like the NAMBLA argument. You know, hey, look, I mean, it's love. You guys are saying it's a crime. It's actually love. Not a great idea. "Young Girl" by Gary Puckett in the Union Gap.
"Young Girl, Get Out of My Life."
Yeah. So "Young Girl, Get Out of My Mind. My love
mind.
For you is way out of line." Uh-oh.
"Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl." Yeah.
Yeah, "with all the charms of a woman." So she's not a woman. "You've kept the secret of your youth. You've led me to believe you're old enough to give me love, and now it hurts to know the truth."
I mean, they just did that all the time.
How does this happen?
In the 60s and
70s. All these guys thought about were 14-year-olds. What is going on? "My Sharona," we talked about a little bit. "Hot Legs" from Rod Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
"Hot Legs, Bring Your Mother Too." 17 years old. He's trudging 64.
I don't remember that lyric.
I don't either.
I don't think I knew that's what he said until this moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunately what he said. So how about "Stray Cat Blues," 1968, Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
"I can see that you're 15 years old. No, I don't want your ID.
Oh my God.
And I've seen that you're so far from home, but it's no hanging matter. It's no capital crime." I don't think that's the standard here.
No.
Mick.
And it kind of is a capital crime today.
Yeah.